Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Shibui, The Japanese Secret to Aging with Purpose, Presence, and Quiet Confidence by Richard Raybould, is a contemporary non-fiction book about aging, self-understanding, and cultural philosophy. Framed around the Japanese idea of Shibui, the book presents aging not as decline to be resisted, but as a process of refinement that can deepen character, judgment, and composure. It draws on Japanese-inspired rituals and a structured set of life dimensions to show how older adulthood can be lived with steadiness and intention. Rather than offering a conventional self-help formula, the book invites reflection on what already matters: balance, discipline, quiet strength, and acceptance. Its purpose is both practical and philosophical, helping readers rethink their relationship to time, mortality, and personal growth. The result is a book aimed at readers who want a more grounded, culturally informed perspective on later life, with emphasis on presence rather than performance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Shibui as a philosophy of aging through refinement rather than resistance. The central idea of the book is that aging can be understood as refinement, not deterioration. That distinction matters because it changes the emotional frame around later life instead of treating age as an opponent to defeat. The reader is encouraged to see time as something that can sharpen discernment and deepen character. This makes Shibui less about appearance and more about maturity in the full sense of the word. The book suggests that quiet confidence, subtle beauty, and inner steadiness are not lost with age, but can become more visible through it. That position is important because many aging books still operate within a problem-solving model, focusing on how to stay youthful, productive, or relevant. Here, the emphasis is different. Age is not a failure of maintenance, but a stage in which value can become more distilled. The book, therefore, offers a corrective to anxious cultural narratives and presents later life as a period with its own form of dignity. Secondly, six interwoven dimensions give the book a practical structure: health, purpose, wealth, connection, and endings. This structure gives the philosophy a usable shape rather than leaving it as an abstract meditation. Each dimension broadens the conversation about aging beyond physical health alone. Beauty addresses how one relates to self-presentation and appreciation. Health keeps attention on bodily care. Purpose asks how time is directed. Wealth introduces the question of sufficiency and resource stewardship. Connection focuses on relationships, and endings ensures that mortality is not excluded from the picture. The value of this framework is that it prevents aging from being reduced to one concern, such as longevity or retirement planning. Instead, it treats later life as an integrated experience in which practical, emotional, and existential concerns belong together. This makes the book feel more holistic than many aging guides, because it does not isolate wellness from meaning or meaning from acceptance of limits. Thirdly, daily rituals function as anchors for calm and emotional steadiness. The book emphasizes simple, grounded rituals drawn from Japanese tradition as a way to restore calm and emotional balance. This is one of its most practical contributions because it turns philosophy into routine behavior. Rather than promising transformation through dramatic change, it proposes small acts that can stabilize attention and reduce internal friction. The logic is straightforward: people age better when they have repeatable forms of care that support steadiness, and rituals provide that continuity. Such practices matter especially in later life, when change, uncertainty, or grief may become more frequent. By placing value on ordinary actions, the book also suggests that emotional resilience is built through consistency, not intensity. This approach distinguishes it from books that rely on inspiration alone. The rituals are not presented as decorative cultural details, but as methods for orienting daily life. In that sense, the book translates Japanese sensibility into an accessible discipline of presence, where calm becomes something cultivated through repeated practice, rather than a mood one waits to feel. Fourthly, mortality is treated as part of a well-composed life, not a taboo subject. One of the more distinctive elements of the book is its willingness to face mortality directly. The ending of life is not treated as a grim interruption to be ignored, but as the final expression of a life composed with care. That framing is significant because many books about aging focus on extending vitality while avoiding deeper confrontation with death. Here, by contrast, mortality is integrated into the overall philosophy. The effect is to reduce denial and to encourage a more honest relationship with time. This does not mean the book is bleak; rather, it argues that clarity about endings can sharpen appreciation for the present. When readers are invited to see death as part of the same continuum as aging, the fear surrounding later life can soften. The book, therefore, has an existential function as well as a practical one. It encourages emotional readiness, not through fatalism, but through acceptance that a well-lived life includes an awareness of its limits. Lastly, the book is reflective rather than prescriptive, which shapes how it teaches. instead of presenting itself as a rules-based manual. The book asks readers to reflect on what they already know. That method matters because it shifts authority from external instruction to internal judgment. The implied belief is that the basics of growth, discipline, wisdom, and good judgment are already familiar, but often need clearer framing and calmer language to become usable. This reflective style makes the book feel less like a checklist and more like a considered conversation for readers that can be valuable because aging is rarely solved by one-size-fits-all advice. People need principles they can adapt to their own circumstances, not prescriptions that ignore complexity. The book's tone also supports its subject. A philosophy of quiet confidence should itself avoid noisy certainty. By encouraging contemplation, it invites readers to reassess habits, priorities, and assumptions without feeling managed. That makes the book especially suitable for readers who prefer thoughtful synthesis over aggressive self-improvement rhetoric. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a more grounded and culturally informed approach to aging than the usual longevity, anti-aging, or productivity-focused titles. It will likely appeal to people entering midlife or later life, as well as to readers reflecting on retirement, legacy, or how to live with greater composure and less self-judgment. Its practical value lies in the way it combines philosophy with small rituals and a clear life structure, giving readers both a way to think and a way to begin acting differently. Its intellectual value comes from reframing aging as refinement, which makes the subject feel less medicalized and less defensive. Compared with similar books, it stands out for its emphasis on quiet confidence, Japanese cultural sensibility, and the integration of mortality into a balanced account of life. Rather than promising reinvention, it offers calibration, a way to align presence, purpose, and acceptance. That makes it especially relevant for readers who want aging to feel more coherent, less performative, and more genuinely lived. If you would like to support Richard Raybould, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.